The Bible exposes all deceptions possible under the sun. It clearly reveals who is a child of God and who is not. It tells us who is lying about his or her relationship with God and who is not. Everything is clear and open in the Word of God. This morning in our text, John is going to talk about that. He is going to expose who has been born of God and who has not been born of God. Today we will learn how to know who is born of God or not. Please turn with me to our text. We're in 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. As we continue where we stopped last week, we saw that chapter 3 has three parts: the love of God, born of God, and the life of God. We have covered the first part last week, dealing with the love of God. So we continue today with the second part, being born of God. John will show us how to know who is born of God and who is not. If you remember, John talked about the wonderful love of God to us. He made us his children, and he gave us several promises in verse 2. We will be like Jesus. We will have new bodies. We will see him face to face. We will be with him for all eternity. After those great promises, John talked about sin. Sin and its relation to the law. He said in verse 4, sin is lawlessness. Then sin and its relation to Christ. He said in verse 5, in him there is no sin. Then sin and its relation to the new life. He said in verse 6, whoever abides in him does not sin, but practices righteousness just as he is righteous. And then number 4, sin and its relation to the devil. Sin is from the devil who sinned from the beginning, he said in verse 8. Now John continues with sin, but this time with its relation to the born-again life. So he says here in verse 9, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. We saw in our last study that in a general sense, all men, all women are offspring of God, creations of God. But for a sinful person to become a child of God, the person must be born again. That is what John is referring to here by having been born of God. He will explain when we get to chapter 5 that whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior, he is born of God. This new birth is called regeneration, to be born again into the family of God. New life for those who were dead in trespasses and sin. Having confessed and repented from his sin, having accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, the new Christian is forgiven. All his sins are forgiven. He stands before God justified, just as if he had never sinned. This new standing is called justification. Finally, the regenerated person is given a new position in Christ. He is set aside for God's purposes to live a godly life. This new position is called sanctification. But do not be confused. It is important to know these things. There will be a test at the end. Getting a new nature from God is called regeneration, new birth into the family of God. Getting a new standing with God is called justification, a new clean slate with God. And getting a new position in God is called sanctification, a new clean life for the glory of God. The only way to enter the family of God is by trusting Christ and experiencing this new birth, as Jesus explained to the old man Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Then John says something weird. He says that such a person does not sin. He does not mean that the person never slips anymore. He is not talking about the false doctrine of sinless perfection. He is not saying either that one sin and he's not born again anymore. There goes the regeneration. The verb to sin here means to practice continually, to make a habit of, to continue in sin. One of the characteristics of the born-again person is he does not make a practice of sin. He tries real hard to get out of it. He does not want to continue in sin. He does not enjoy sin anymore. He might slip, but he hates it when that happens. He quickly repents. And he does not want to do it again. He makes some plans. He changes a few things to make sure that it won't happen again. John tells us why it is so, why the believer feels this way. Because the seed of Jesus Christ remains in that person. What is John talking about here? A seed in him. Peter mentioned in 1 Peter 1:23 that we have been born again not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed. What seed? The Greek word sperma means that which carries life, carries the family characteristics. The sperm is a carrier of the genes, not blue genes, with a G. When a person is born again, born of God, and he receives Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, a seed, a small portion of Christ, a small portion of his power, a small portion of his nature, of his love, is implanted in the born-again person. The seed slowly grows, and it starts changing the person from the inside. It creates what the Bible calls the new man, the new nature. The new nature is very different from the old sinful nature. The new nature is interested in doing things that are in harmony with God. That nature is not interested in continuing doing things contrary to God. Not only is the person with the new nature not interested in sinning, doing things contrary to God. But John says in verse 9, he adds, he cannot do it. He just cannot sin. He cannot continue. He cannot make a practice of it. Paul explains this very well in his second letter to the Corinthians. I believe it's 5:7. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I'm a pastor because of this verse. I was going to a church in Napa, and I wanted to be a pastor, and I told them, and they told me, you can never be a pastor. You have been married before. You've been divorced. I could not believe it. I said, what if I kill the wife? They said, it's okay. Something was not right. So I moved to Calvary Chapel in Napa. And they took me to this verse. And they told me, you were married, you were divorced before you were born again. And all of that stuff has passed away. You have become new. So he is new because of the seed of Jesus that is in him. A Christian has an old nature from his physical birth. He has the genes of his parents. But he also has a new nature from his spiritual birth, the seed of Christ. Satan baits his traps with pleasures that appeal to the old nature, to the flesh. He knows that none of his baits will appeal to the new divine nature. If we yield to our old nature, we will go for his bait. We will sin. If we follow the new nature, we will refuse the bait. We will obey God. This is not an easy thing to do, but remember, it is possible to do it by abiding in Christ, John said earlier in verse 6. If we do make a practice of sin, if we continue in sin, and we enjoy it, then we have not received the seed of Jesus Christ in us that makes us a new creation, that gives us a new nature, a nature that cannot continue in sin and enjoy it. If we are not a new creation in Christ Jesus, if we do not have the Spirit of Christ, the Bible says that we are not His. We are not the children of God. Jesus said to the Jews, "You are of your father, the devil." Why did he say that? Because they were always acting like the devil. A person has the characteristic of his father. I don't like that. My dad was a drunk. You should have known about U-turn. They are seen clearly in the life of the individual, the characteristic of his father. If we have the seed of Christ abiding in us, then we will be like our Father. We will have His nature. We will have the characteristics of our Heavenly Father. John goes on, he says in verse 10, "In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest." They're exposed. "Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's work were righteous." Here John talks about the children of two different fathers. He gives us two ways to identify them, two ways to make the difference between the children of one father, God, and the children of the other father, the devil. Two main characteristics. The children of God practice righteousness. Twice before, John said that righteousness is a sign of being born of God. He said it in chapter 2, verse 29, and just previously, chapter 3, verse 7. Practicing righteousness is the characteristic of a child of God. And number two, love the brethren. Twice Jesus commanded his followers to love one another, John 13 and in John 15. People talk about the universal fatherhood of God and the universal brotherhood of men. They want us to believe that all persons are looked upon by God as his children. The Word of God teaches the very opposite. Jesus did not teach these false doctrines. There are only two families in the whole world. The family that loves God, loves the brethren, and practices righteousness is the family of God. The family that hates, harms others, loves to sin, loves iniquity, practices unrighteousness is the family of the devil. The family of the devil is a family of deceivers. That family tries to deceive the family of God into thinking that a person can be a Christian and still practice sin. A true believer does not practice sin. A pretending believer cannot help but practice sin because he is missing a vital little part. He does not have God's nature. He does not have the seed of Christ in him. We must be careful here. These words were not written so we might check other people and judge them. They were written that we may examine ourselves. Do I have the love of God working in my life? Do I practice righteousness? This is a very important issue. We will see in verse 14, it's a matter of life or death. Again, John says in verse 11, you heard from the beginning. The beginning of what? The beginning of our new life in Jesus. Heard what? That we should love one another. This type of love is a giving type of love, self-sacrificing love, not in words only. And John will come back to this later. We will see in our next study. The message came from Jesus and does not need to be updated. The message is still the same today, and it is still changing lives. It is very important, a very important message. If we do not have the basic message, this love, then the Bible says that we can have all the gifts of the Spirit, but they will be of no value in our life, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So this is the basic message from the very beginning. The basic message of the Holy Spirit. The basic message of Christianity. And it is the basic message of the church today. How can a person possess this type of love? Simply by receiving Christ. It is not something that we can work on or try to get. It is part of the seed of Christ, verse 9. If we do not have this type of love, we have no right to call ourselves children of God. We are not in a family of God. We may pretend to be, or we are not. This type of love is what proves that we are the children of God, that we are indeed in the family of God. Jesus said, they will know you, they will know that you are my disciples by the love that you have for one another. No other way. He was also saying, they will know that you are not my disciple if you do not have this love. And then John shows us an example of that in the two sons of the first family, the family of Adam. Cain is mentioned in verse 12, the only one mentioned by name. He is a classic example of the world's attitude, the bitterness, and the hatred towards the righteous child of God. That is bitterness and animosity in the minds and hearts of the people in the world today against the person who is living and walking godly. Jesus warned his disciple about this in John chapter 15. That bitterness and hatred towards the obedient child of God started way back in the first family, just outside the Garden of Eden. Today, the world is filled with bitterness and hatred towards the obedient child of God. It starts with jealousy and envy, but it is the seedbed of murder. And John will come back to this later in our next study, verse 15. He's going to have a lot of stuff to say about sin. Sin that you can lose your life. John answers several questions about Cain here in verse 12. Where did Cain come from? He was created by God. But it says here that he was of the wicked one. We are not told when he decided to become wicked. He was not created wicked. No one is ever created wicked. It is a choice. No one is created homosexual. It is a choice. They may claim they were. God made me like this. No, he did not. The next question, what did Cain do? Well, he murdered his own brother. And the next question is, why did Cain do such thing? It says here, because his works were evil and his brother's works were righteous. He was jealous. There seemed to be a frustration in the hearts and minds of unrighteous people today when they see someone doing what is right and is righteous. They feel guilty or they feel convicted and they lash out against the righteous just like Cain did with his brother Abel. Cain is an example of a life of hatred. In that story, which is in Genesis chapter 4, both brothers brought sacrifices to God. Cain is not presented as an unbeliever. He is presented as a worshiper. He worshiped God. This is the point. The children of the devil can masquerade as true believers. They can attend services as Cain did, and they can even bring offerings as Cain did. But these actions in themselves are not a valid proof that a person is born of God. The real test is love. Love for the brethren. And Cain failed. Cain rejected God's word. He decided to worship his own way. He did not like God's way. He wanted to make up his own religion, make up his own rules. The only approach to God was by the shedding of blood. That was the only way acceptable back then to approach God. Because God had a plan for blood, and that was important that he would start this way with them. Abel had no problem with that. and he sacrificed animals. Cain had a problem with that. He brought an offering from the ground. There was no blood in it. His offering was without blood and was unacceptable to God. It was a slap in God's face. You say you want this, I'm going to give you this. Satan is always interested in turning people away from the revealed will and word of God. He encourages people to do their own thing, to worship their own way, rather than what God said. I have met people like this. They have their own way to worship God. They don't need guidance from anyone. The problem is, they might end up with Cain. He was like this. A person who truly loves his brother will not persecute him, will not criticize him, backbite, spread rumors, downgrade, attack, abuse, gossip, be envious, stand against, hurt, destroy, murder, dislike, oppose, or talk about him or hate him. Verse 13, we get to the third part. We start now the life in God. John says, "Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death." Just as Cain hated the righteous work of his brother, so will the world hate your righteous work. If the world does not hate you, it is probably because you are not totally in righteous works. You might be lukewarm. The world does not love a righteous person. Why not? Because the world is convicted by a righteous person. If the world does not hate you, it could be because your lukewarmness does not generate any conviction in the lives of people. They can say and do anything around you. They are comfortable with you. John repeats in verse 13 what the Lord Jesus had said. Not to marvel if the world hates you. It also hated him. But it is impossible to be a child of God, one born of God, and to hate others. Impossible for the child of God to hate us. Why not? Because his love for us is the proof that he is born again of God. John closes the section by saying in verse 14 that we have a certainty, we have a guarantee because we have that type of love, because we love the brethren, we will never be separated from God. We have passed from death to life. Yes, we will be separated from this body, but never separated from God. Not because we are sound in the faith, not because we are so sincere Christian workers, not because we give generously to the mission or sustain the Lord's work, but because we love the brethren. Verse 14, love is life. Love is important. We need to love one another. This is how we know that we have passed from death to life. So if someone asks how we know that we are really born again, that is only one proof. The glorious love that God has placed in our heart for him and for the brethren. What about those who do not love the brothers? John says clearly here, they abide in death. They remain in the state in which they were born. They are dead in trespasses and sin, the Bible says. Dead while they live. For this is a matter of life and death. The fruit of hatred is death. The fruit of love is life, eternal life. Life without love is death. To love is to be in the light, and to hate to remain in darkness. To John, lack of love is the same as hatred, and hatred is the equivalent of murder. So we see in our text this morning that there are two families on earth. You have the family of God, the children of God, who practice righteousness, and you have the family of the devil, the children of the devil, who do not practice righteousness. Two types of individuals. The born-again believer is different from the unbeliever. And John clearly shows the characteristics of both today, here in our text. First, he mentions seven things about he who is born of God. Well, for one, he does not practice sin. Verse 9. He says he cannot practice sin in verse 9. He said he practices righteousness in verse 10. His works are righteous in verse 12. He says the world hates him in verse 13. But he loves the brethren, verse 14. And he has passed from death to life. Then he mentions six things about the one who is not born of God. Number one, he practices sin, verse 9. He does not practice righteousness, verse 10. His works are evil, verse 12. The world loves him, verse 13. He does not love the brethren, verse 14. And he abides in death. The word of God is crystal clear. It is possible to know if a person is of God or not of God. It is very important to know. It is a matter of life or death. So examine yourselves today. Find out if you are born of God or not. If you look at the Word of God, it's crystal clear. If you don't, then you can be deceived. Not looking at the word of God, Cain looked good. Look at the man. He's a worshiper. He worships God. He brings an offering. But if you look at the word of God, the offering was wrong. He was a rebellious kid. He did what he wanted to do instead of what God asked him to do. We cannot do that. We cannot be rebellious. We need to do what God asks us to do. We need to live a way that is pleasing to God. We cannot continue in sin and then proclaim to be godly. It does not work like this. It's very important that you know the scriptures. John is a tough man. He is very tough in his teaching. He tells it like it is. And today he tells us that there's a way to know that you are truly of God or not. May the Lord be with you. May the Lord bless each and every one of you who came today to meet with the Lord. May he bless your home, your family, your marriage relationship, your work. May he keep you close to his heart. May you want to know his word. And may you walk with him all the days of your life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.